Welcome back to the second hour of the KFPK Outdoor Show. I'm Bob Sims. Saturdays 5 to 8 right here on KFPK, 1530 AM and 93.1 FM. Sturgeon fishing is synonymous with high muddy water. I mean, they go together. First of all, it's one of the few fish you can catch in high muddy water, but mostly it really spurs them to move. Spring is when they spawn. They come up from San Pablo Bay and the Pacific Ocean, make their way mostly into the Sacramento River system. And Rob Reimers of Rustic Rob's Guide Service has been getting some unusually good fishing for this time of year. For the last 3 weeks, he's been up at up above Grimes, and he's caught quite a few fish, hooked that many more. But the question remains that with the muddy water, we're going to get at least some muddy water and some rise in the river. Will that move those sturgeon up and his honey hole be gone? Will the sturgeon come up from below, make up for it? Well, he's on the line to answer those questions. Good morning.
Good morning, Bob.
I guess you got your little spot up there, and every time you go there, whether you catch fish or not, you either hook them or you see them jump or something, you know they're in the area. What do you think this, I don't know if the runoff has affected the water up there yet, has it?
It just started to yesterday. It's actually not going to go up that much. I mean, the river has been down unusually low, and it's only going to go up 2 feet, and as soon as it gets up, it's going to drop back down. But that little bit of sweet water going in, I think, will turn the bite on and make some for some better fishing. So, and move the fish up.
Yeah, and move them up. So you know, it's hard to leave your spot there. You're going to definitely got to go try that. But if you see any difference, you'll head upriver?
Yeah, well, you know what? I like to fish up above Colusa. That's my favorite area. I mean, I usually go up there the 1st of March. So it's just kind of time, you know, to go up there. But, I'm going to move up just because I figure the fish are moving up. I think we're reaching a point where there's going to be, you know, like fish all through the system. You know, they're starting to thicken up here. So, you know, I mean, you know, you just kind of fish where you like to fish and you'll probably do well, you know. But, you know, I'm going to go up above Colusa.
Yeah. Hey, do you, where you're fishing, you're not bothered by a lot of boat traffic. And when that happens, plus fishing at night a lot of the times, are you fishing in shallower water, which is a typical sturgeon habitat? Once they get up there, they get out of the main current and tend to get on these shallow banks?
Yeah, you know, I like to fish, smooth, flat, sandy or muddy bottom, you know. But where I've been fishing is actually not that shallow. But, you know, it's just, you know, it's got a big, deeper hole off to the side of it. But they come up on this, you know, smooth, sandy bottom and just kind of backing back and forth looking for bait, you know. So that's usually where I fish.
Yeah. So Have you caught any stripers? I haven't asked you that the last few weeks. Any stripers up there?
I haven't even tried. Yeah. I have seen in the evening, I've seen a few fish hitting the top. It looked like a striper hitting the top.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, there's some fish up here, but I won't even try for striper until we get into April.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we'll get to a point up here where, you know, I might throw a striper rod out while we're sturgeon fishing, but you know, as far as seriously going after striper, I won't do that for a while.
Okay. Well, hey, what the heck? We got the whole season ahead of us, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Nobody's been out on Oroville?
No, I don't. Not that I know of. I mean, this last week, I think the storms have been a little bit too bad, and I haven't heard of anybody going up there. You know, and we're kind of waiting, you know, let the fish grow a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, everybody's kind of got sturgeon and striper on the mind. You know, I mean, when stripers come in town up here, that's all anybody thinks of anyway.
Yeah.
You know, so it'll be after striper season before it really takes off. But,
yeah. Every year it's different on how far the fish move up the system toward Colusa and past Colusa. And right now they're even catching fish way up by Hamilton City. But, you know, those, you know, speculation is most of those are the big resident fish, right, Rob?
Yeah, I think they're all resident fish. They're catching up there. I don't really think we've had any fish move up to speak of.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, there's a lot more fish winter up here than people realize, you know. And as long as the water is good, conditions are good, and there's plenty of feed, you know, there's not really much reason for them to go back.
Sure, sure. Well, you know, I mean, sometimes steelhead do the same thing. They just convert back to a resident rainbow in some of these streams. Yeah. So,
right. Well, we get that in the Feather River quite a bit.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, I wonder with this rain, of course, we're not going to get anything from the reservoirs at this point. It's all got to be the side streams. But if we get a couple more storms, all of a sudden we may have a, you know, how the streams come up and then they may drop, but they at least continue to flow, which really adds to everything. And that sweet water itself helps bring fish further up the system. So maybe we'll have a banner year this year up by Colusa.
Yeah, you know, I mean, we're starting to go into the kind of pattern that I like, you know, for surging fishing, where we get a couple of good storms and the river rises, you know, 2 to 5 feet, and then it goes right back down. Then the next storm comes in, does the same thing. That seems to be the best for me up here.
Yeah. Well, you know, when that section of river up there gets a bunch of stripers in it, you're right. Everybody concentrates on the stripers, but they forget that there's also a lot of sturgeon right in exactly the same area.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, May can be a good time up there, for crying out loud. But and the river up there, once you get above Colusa, that's when it takes on a different character and a whole different river than below Colusa with the tall levees and rock levees. Now you're getting into more of a natural habitat with a few rock levees and big bends and all that, and it looks like a good old-fashioned valley river.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, it's
perfectly.
it's fun to be in an environment like that.
Yeah, I enjoy being up there much more than down below. You know, I just fish down below because, you know, that's just where you start.
Yeah.
But, you know, up there, like you were saying, stripers and sturgeon at the same time. I've been up there before where people are fishing at night for stripers, and they're just busting the heck out of them on top water, and I'm sitting just down below them about 50 yards catching sturgeon, you know, in the same hole. So, you know, I mean, you know, it can be good.
That's the best of all worlds right there, Rob.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, well, good luck this week. I'll be curious to see what you find. You know, it's anybody's guess this first week, huh?
Yeah, you know, I'm kind of moving my trips around a little bit, trying to work around these storms, but I think we're going to do good up there.
Okay. Hey, thanks, Rob. We'll check with you next week.
All righty.
Bye. Bye. Rob Reimers, Rustic Rob's Guide Service. You can book a trip with Rob, 530-632-0051. And his website is rusticrob.com. After the break, Scott Laseth, we hope, he's down at the Fred Hall Show, has to do some promotional stuff. We'll hope for the best. In the meantime, though, Sierra Nevada Tire in Placerville and Pollock Pines, well, if you ever thought about how important tires are, it's going to be right now, especially if you live up in the hills and you want to go into the mountains further. You heard earlier chain controls from Colfax to the Nevada state line on the 80 side, not sure what it is on the 50. In fact, we're going to have an interview of the owner, Jeff Bodle, on tires and safety a little bit later in the program. Very interesting. But at Sierra Nevada Tire, I mean, that's their business. And they are in the hills, and they have adverse conditions. They have everything from normal commute people that don't really need any kind of a radical tire because they live below the snow line. They have to deal with rain. But then you get into the snow line and then going over the mountain. What kind of tires? Well, they can guide you to it no matter what kind of car or truck you have. They carry all the top brands. I mean, all the top brands. And in each one of those brands, I mean, there's dozens of different entire tread patterns and everything that fit people's needs. And you can go on their website and come up with a great idea on what you should have, but then once you talk to them, they can really refine it. They do all the mechanical work you ever asked for. They've done all mine for years and years. They're really a great shop. And if you are in the need of some tire chains, you buy a set of tires at Sierra Nevada Tire and Wheel. You just mentioned you heard it on this program. You're going to get a free set of chains. Not bad, huh? Call them in Placerville, 530-622-4714. Also in Pollock Pines, the website is SierraNevadaTire.com. Welcome back. Well, as I feared, Scott Laceth is not on the phone. He's not the Fred Hall show, and he texted me last night and said he had to be on call to do a promotional thing for the show on television or something like that. And so and maybe he'll call sometime during the show, but at least he's not here right now. You know, let's go to the, I want to talk to Kurt Porta Carrero of Sac River Guide, because last week at 7:45, Richie Height called in from Whiskeytown Reservoir. Well, he was fishing with Kirk Porta Carrero and two other friends, including Richie's son, and they had three fish by 7:45, three kokanee. This is winter kokanee fishing. So I got a hold of Kirk last night, and when he was scouting over in the Fall River Valley for today's speckle belly goose opener. Yeah, the 5-day speckle belly season starts today in northeastern California. So we talked about that and Whiskeytown and how to stay warm and dry in the winter. Kirk, you're out scouting for tomorrow's speckle belly opener. It's a 5-day season. You're hunting up in the Fall River Valley. What kind of a setting are you looking at?
I'm looking at about 10,000 snow geese and specks about 200 yards from me landing in the field that I'm going to be hunting tomorrow. So I'm kind of excited.
I guess so.
We got about 2.5 inches of snow last night, and throughout the day, the snow melted. And we've got a lot of geese up here right now.
I know you were up a couple of weeks ago mowing some of that, the taller grass, to get that fresh grass to come up, which is what the geese love. It sounds like that might have worked.
No, it didn't, because that particular field that I did that to, there's not a goose on.
Oh, well, back to the drawing board, huh?
I spent 8 hours on a 60-inch blade trying to mow a field, and it didn't produce. But you know, it, that's today. It could be different in 3 days.
Sure,
you
never can tell. So, what kind of crop was on the land you're hunting?
There's all kinds of stuff. They have Trigochelia, which is a grain grass for cows. And then there's, it's a hay, oat hay fields that they're all planted. They'll plant them in the spring, and they're all green. And what happens is those geese will just go in there and tear them all up. So we're in there hunting them, trying to keep them off. And
yeah,
some of the leases that I have, we just try to keep the birds off. But yet we're also hunting them at the same time.
So yeah, well, that's the purpose. That's really the purpose for the hunt, right?
Correct. Yeah, yeah. It's one of the purposes, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, now last week Richie Height called the program at 7:45. You and he were up fishing Whiskeytown. I didn't know it at the time, but you had two friends with you, and you had three fish at 7:45, and I guess it was in the upper 20s when you started fishing.
Right.
I understand you ended up pretty good, huh?
Yeah, we ended up with 20 fish, and it warmed up, and of course, when the sun beat down on the water, it turned on, and we got ended up with 20, 17-incher, so that was a good time. Good trip.
A measured 17-incher?
Yeah, measured 17 inch here, matter of fact. That was, and he says that he suspects that there's going to be a 20 incher coming out of that lake this year.
Yeah. So,
but I've never caught. I've only caught a 16 incher. I've never caught a 17. So they got one, and you know, it is what it is. That was his son got it. Well, so that was the highlight of the weekend. And then we ended up fishing the next day, and I had some customers, and we ended up getting 16 the next day, and he ended up getting 15. He had three guys, and I had three guys. It was a good day. The second day was much better than the first day.
It was much better?
Oh, yeah. The second day was really good. Yeah.
Okay, well, that's good. That's interesting. So it puts a whole new wheel on the wagon up there, huh, Kirk?
Oh, yeah. There's quite a, you know, there's, I've never really fished a winter kokanee, and it was all new for me, but there's, it was good.
Rich has got it dialed in, doesn't he?
Oh, he does. He definitely knows that wintertime fishing, and I'm sure summertime also, but yeah, there's not a lot of guys that fish for kokanees in 20 degrees weathers or teens.
Right. Now, speaking of that, 20 degree weather, plus you're up in Fall River Valley, and it's probably storm, and it's cold and everything else.
Yeah.
I've been asking the people that just basically make their living in elements like that, how do you stay warm? I mean, you're going to be sitting in one spot tomorrow morning hunting these geese. First of all, start with the socks. How do you keep your feet warm?
Well, I wear 1,600-gram boots. Which is, you know, 1,600 grams of insulate, and they keep my feet pretty warm. And, of course, moving your feet around it makes a big difference. But the gear I wear, for the fishing, I wear Sims gear. Sims gear, I've been wearing that for years. And like last weekend when it was 27 degrees in the morning, I ended up pulling my dry bag out and putting all my Sims gear on, and I was warm as toast by, you know, 10:30, 11:00. But in the morning, the second day, I ran all my Sims gear, and it works great.
You're talking about the base layers?
Well, I wear the rain gear and the jumpsuit, you know, the bibs and everything. I put you know, long johns, from Sims long johns to their basic. They have a set of long johns, and they work really good, and that's what I wear. But tomorrow, I'm actually wearing Sitka camouflage gear, and that's all the same kind of stuff. You know, both companies are great. Great. One I use for hunting, and one I use for fishing. The Sims I use for fishing, and the Sitka I use for hunting. You can't go wrong with either one. They're both proven. I mean, I'm hunting tomorrow at 11 degrees.
11 degrees.
11 degrees.
So in your base layers, you know, we have base layers like long underwear, and they have different ratings, and basically you have the extreme or the expedition or something like the polar weight and all that. Do you use the warmest that they sell?
Oh yeah, I buy the best because I want to stay warm. No difference in fishing when I'm out there fishing for king salmon during the late fall runs in November, December. You know, those mornings get down sometimes in the 20s and early and low 30s.
Yeah.
And I wear the warm stuff, and a lot of guys won't go out and fish in that stuff because they don't have the right clothing. You just got to. And boy, I tell you what, there's nothing like catching those chrome bright fish, and on a cold morning, those fish come out. They're just fresh. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and you're comfortable doing it.
And you're comfortable doing it, and that makes it enjoyable right there. Even though Sunday I did have a heater on my boat, I brought my full canopy with the windows and everything, and put a heater in there. We were as warm as toast.
That's Kirk Porter Guerrero. He did tell me that. They went by Richie in his boat, and Richie didn't have a heater. And they asked him, "How you guys doing?" And they, of course, yelled back, "We're starting to perspire. We're so warm." You know how that kind of goes. Anyway, so there's another opinion. I mean, so far we've had two, and both these guys, when it gets right down to the nitty-gritty, and it's cold out there, you want the best. And rather than buy a bunch of cheap stuff, just save up and buy the best. And there's several good brands. Kurt's number, 800-670-4448. or go to sacriverguide.com. Keep in mind, we're not talking so much about rain gear right now, but, you know, basically how to keep your hands and feet warm. We're going to get a very interesting little thing from Doug Willett at Pyramid Lake on that. That kind of surprised me. But let's remember this. A breathable material. Now, you don't have to go just with Gore-Tex. There's a lot of good breathable rain gear on the market. And for some reasonable pricing as well. But the breathable gear, even if you're not doing much, it keeps moisture out of your body. That's what's going to make you cold, is moisture. And that's why you don't wear cotton, because cotton absorbs moisture. Things like wool and polypropylene, they wick moisture away from the body into the next layer. So with no moisture, that, you know, a little breathability rather than have it humid inside your coat and everything, you don't want that. We want just at least a little breathability. All right. Okay, after the break, we'll talk to Clyde Wands about what should be happening and what was happening before these rains hit as far as stripers. Don't go away. Well, this would have been a heck of a week to have been out striper trolling. Not so much in the upper reaches, but down in the lower reaches in the big water. I don't know exactly what happened down there, but Clyde Wands, the old-timer, is on the line, and he's going to tell us what's happening. Good morning.
Good morning, Bob.
Tough week to get out, huh?
Well, the only day I could have got out, I thought I could, was Wednesday, and I had another appointment I had to keep.
Hmm.
But anyway, I had a couple friends out there Wednesday, some on the San Joaquin and some on the Sac side. The Sac side drew a zero, not even a strike. And then I talked to a couple guys who was over around False River through there. I think they caught a couple limits of stripers, but no size. And anyway, I got up yesterday morning. I thought, man, the weather's nice. I should be out here fishing. A friend of mine's going to have breakfast with me. He said, I'm going, or he went. And they found fish. They were marking fish. And they caught, I think they caught a couple limits, nothing big, you know, the same size we've been catching. They were over around Edo's and in that area. And you and Barry both were talking about the smolt in the Sacramento River. They're doing the same thing in the McCallumee. I think mm-hmm. that's why those stripers are pulled up into there.
Yeah, could be.
And I think that's what's going on. And, you know, last week I got them in Steamboat. A few stripers in there. I got one 13-pounder. That's the best I've caught for a while. But I think this rain, the fish the guys caught yesterday over on around Edo's were milking males. New fish coming up, I think. I think it's going to happen this next week. So I'm going to try to get out there 3 days and see what happens. We're going to have much better tides. Toward the end of the week, the tides are going to be pretty good. You know, they're coming down a lot for sure. Us trollers. And as long as the water stays clear, I'll probably do steam bait boat one day and then go over on the other side for a day. Spend a whole day just running around over there and seeing what I can find.
Yeah.
Maybe clear out a false or Prisoner's Point.
You know, it's interesting, Clyde. Here we've been talking about just finding the stripers. Now all of a sudden we're talking about some of them getting ready to spawn already.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's been pretty tough with this cold weather, and I wasn't marking much. Well, when I'm trolling a steamboat, you're not going to mark many fish when I'm trolling 4 and 5 feet of water, but they were there. But it wasn't my find. A friend of mine found them up there a couple days before. He was fishing for smallmouth and got into them. He told me about it, so I went up there with rattle traps, and it paid off. They may not be there tomorrow. That was last week.
Yeah.
Just got to go, depend on your depth finders, but it's going to happen. I have a feeling this next week is going to be pretty good.
Well, you know, it's not raining so much at one time to where it's going to blow everything out, you know?
No.
I mean, we got some good rain. We especially got some good snow. Now, after the day, we're going to get a break, which is always good for the fishing, and then a little bit more rain later, but But if it keeps like that, things stay fishable. That's the key.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You know, the weather don't bother me, the cold weather. I can put up the side curtains. I have a good heater for the boat. In fact, I'm in there. I take off. I wear a pretty nice jacket, heavier one, and then I have a real light one on under that. I was down to my light jacket the last real cold day we had down there. Put that heater on with the side curtains, and you're turning it off after about a half an hour. It's just back and forth, you know.
Another good tip on how to stay warm in brutal weather.
My heater probably probably cost $30, my heater.
Yeah.
And I have a good stand for it that I made, and I hold enough gas. I never even run through one cylinder in a day out there. So, you know, you can stay warm. And I really believe with this rain, it's going to do nothing but help. And there are probably smolts that they're releasing now that Barry's seen. And the same friend, my friends found them, I guess. They found these fish, and they couldn't get them to go.
Yeah.
And finally, they started to bite. You know, I think they got a couple limits. And they were around meadows, and they said they marked quite a few fish, which we haven't been doing.
Yeah.
You know, we're just going along there and looking for a fish here and there. But maybe we're getting the schools coming up now.
This could be the week. I'll be interested to talk to you next Saturday, Clyde.
Okay, Bob.
Thank you.
I'll be out 3 days next week.
Okay, good deal.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, bye.
Clyde Wands, the old-timer. Okay. Well, there's a new owner of Clear Lake Outdoors over in Lakeport on Clear Lake. His name's Dave Burris. And I talked to him last night after introducing myself on the phone and then asked him about the fishing. Dave, congratulations. You got a tough act to follow there with Troy and Dave, but they tell me that you're just a perfect guy to buy that shop, so congratulations on the new ownership of Clear Lake Outdoors.
Thank you so much. It's a big dream of mine. I've been telling Dave I've been dreaming to buy the shop for a year and a half now, so I'm glad I finally figured out how to get it going.
Well, you're a Clear Lake addict, aren't you?
Yeah, I moved up from the Bay Area just for bass fishing.
Wow. You are an addict.
Yes.
You fish at tournaments, too?
I was fishing a few tournaments last year. Unfortunately, I don't have a fancy enough boat yet, but hopefully we're going to change that pretty quick here.
Okay. Well, good for you. You're going to keep the same hours, the same name, the same number, the whole works?
Perfect. Yeah, we're keeping pretty much everything the same. They did great with their customer service, so we're going to keep that rolling, keep everything in stock, and if anybody needs anything special ordered, they can give me a call, and we can get that ordered for them.
That's beautiful. That's good customer service. Now, what's going on? We have these fronts moving through, and this is the time of year we're on the final. Sometimes these fronts really set the fishing back, and you kind of got to start all over, you know. You get a big storm and a cold front and wind. And other times, it just seems like you pick up where you left off. Where do you think we are?
You know what? I thought it was going to cut off. I was catching, when it was warm, we had those 68-degree days, I was catching about 25 to 40 fish a day. And it was slowing down a little bit, but I have still people coming in the shop showing me pictures of five-pounders they caught this week. So it did not stop, which is good for everybody.
So you just got to pick your time in between fronts and figure out what that window of opportunity is, huh?
Correct. You know, in my opinion, if you got a nice rain jacket and you're not scared of a little bit of weather, you're going to still go out there and catch fish. You're going to catch fish, maybe not as many numbers, but they're still catching good fish out there.
Okay.
And I definitely recommend... Go ahead.
Excuse me, but, you know, we have a great network that among the professional bass fishermen, but we've got to take care of the weekend fishermen, too. If you want to go out and bundle up and catch a few fish, what would you be using?
Underspins are very popular right now. Ned rigs are also very popular. The trick is right now we're going to just slow down that presentation. So instead of fishing fast, we're just going to slow it down and almost to a stop because these fish are just cold weather, cold water. These fish are just slower. They're still biting. They just got to fish a little bit slower.
Okay. So swim bait's still working?
Yeah, I like a Kytec.
Yeah.
And either the 3.3 or the 3.8 is getting fish.
That's a little small for Clear Lake. I'm surprised.
Yeah, all these fish right now, they're feeding on shad. So anything that can resemble a shad, you're probably going to catch some fish.
Okay, and they'll chase a little bit as long as it's not too fast then, huh?
Correct, yeah. I just like to slow my presentation down just a little bit.
Now, Dave, when we get done with this current system, I think, which finally clears out sometime Saturday. I guess we can expect a nice, brisk north wind. That might set it back a day or two. Do you think it'll pick up in like a couple of days after, or will we have to wait till midweek?
I think so. We're going to get some rain next week. I think Saturday it's supposed to be a little rough. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, this week, the weather's supposed to be nice. So I think people are going to go out and catch a lot of fish. Now, if we're talking about 2 weeks ahead of time, once all this rain slides through, I think about the 13th, 14th, 15th, all the weather is done. So we're going to start getting some warmer weather. The water's going to warm up, and we're going to get a great bite going.
That's Dave Burris, a new owner of Clear Lake Outdoors. You can tell he's all amped up. He's been dreaming about owning that shop, and now he's doing it. So anyway, the number's the same, 707-262-5852. After the break, Mr. Don Paganelli, a little fishing in the city. It's a Howe Park thing. They charge you to get in there today, but he'll tell us about that and also how to catch some bass this time of year. Right now, though, at Adventure Sports, I was out there yesterday, and, Yak Attack is a company that's been building really good fishing accessories for kayaks for years. Well, everybody was just buzzing about this because they've made a kayak. It's called a Bonafide, and it's the SS-127. It's a 12-foot, 7-foot boat. And they were telling me in there, usually you get, in kayaks, you got to consider speed, the tracking, the maneuverability, and the stability. And if you're lucky, you get two of those in a good kayak. And they swore up and down, this has got all four. And by looking at the bow, you can tell the way it just will cut through the water. It's $15.99. Okay, that's how much it costs. It includes a paddle and a rod holder. It's got a recessed transducer port. It's got tractor pads that come stock. They're normally extra, for traction in front of your seat. They've got front rails and back rails for all your accessories. They've even got 2 5-inch front rails in front of your feet for smaller accessories, like a depth finder or something. But everybody says how stable this is, and they are selling. So keeping in line with the good manufacturers coming out with good stuff, the Yak Attack Bonafide is at Adventure Sports right now. They just got a whole bunch of Hobies in. They are well-stocked in Hobies. And next week is the boat show, and where Hobies will be on sale. And, of course, we'll tell you more about that next week. Adventure Sports, call them at 565-1400, their new location, 7812 Auburn Boulevard, kayakcity.com. Welcome back. Well, how do you catch bass when you've got these cold storms and north winds and cold water? One guy knows how, Don Paganelli, and he's with us now. Don, before we talk about the trials and tribulations of winter bass fishing, real quick, this isn't a, quote, fishing in the city event, but you're going to be there anyway today at Howe Park. What's going on?
Well, this is their annual trout derby that they have at Howe Park, which is a pay-to-fish event. But we are always there as fishing in the city with the rods and reels and bait and rods set up for those that show up that don't have the equipment. But most of the people that do show up, they're there. They have a lot of their own equipment. But do have a few that come in.
Just in case, right? Stuff. Just
yep.
In case.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So do you know what it cost?
No, I'm not there yet. I'm on my way, but I'm not 100% sure how much they charge. I don't think they charge a lot. They usually draw quite a big crowd, big enough to where they actually break it up into two sessions.
Uh-huh.
Because the park isn't that big or the pond
sure.
isn't that big.
Yeah.
So.
Why don't you, if you can think of it, when you get over there, text me the admission.
I will.
Okay, and then they planted trout and the whole thing?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, the
okay.
Trout were planted, I think, that, either yesterday or the day before.
Okay. Oh, that's good. They had a little chance to acclimate then. Let's talk about bass fishing. First of all, it was just a couple of days ago, 2 years ago, March 1st, I happened to... was looking through my phone pictures and saw a picture of me holding a nice spotted bass, and that's when you and I were on Folsom Lake. We just had a great day. I think we caught, what, 25 or 30 bass that day?
And yeah, and all within about 2 or 3 hours.
I know. It was just crazy. And all these island tops and the big rocks and everything up the North Fork. But it shows you how 1 year can change. That was the last year of the drought. And now we have all this cold rain and increased cold water coming in from the two rivers. And Folsom Lake today is not like it was 2 years ago today, right now.
No, but I still believe that these fish, or bass in general, they have their cycle that Mother Nature takes them through, spawning-wise, and... it's that time for smallmouth and spots, which are usually the first ones to spawn, even in the colder water. And they tend to spawn a little bit deeper than a largemouth. But I think that if we get a couple of good days in a row, there is no reason some of those fish, and it could be a late afternoon bite like the one you and I found.
Yeah.
After that sun's had a little bit of time on the water, those fish just move up and start feeding. So you can catch those windows in this time of year, and they call that the pre-spawn, when these fish are moving up and feeding really hard. You know, people always ask me, they always want to go out for the pre-spawn when the fish are biting, but we can never, you know, mark it exactly on the calendar the day it's going to happen. But you can kind of figure that this is one of those months where it could be any day, and that goes with Berryessa and Clear Lake, mm-hmm. and all these lakes that are in that cycle. Folsom just has to be a little bit later for like the largemouth, although you can probably still find largemouth moving up there. You know, small swim baits are always good, like the small Kytex, A rigs rigged up with those Kytex, rip baits. Fishing the tubes like you and I were doing, where mm-hmm. we were just pitching them out on an 8-ounce dart head mm-hmm. and just working them back. So I still think that, you know, this is the time of year that people need to really open their eyes up and get out there and put in some time, because I think you can find those days when those fish are just going to go on a super feeding binge, because that's really what they're trying to do right now.
Yeah. You know, last week we had Scott Green on, and I know you know Scott, and he's another passionate bass fisherman like you, and I asked him about Folsom. He says, in the winter, he says, well, one thing about Folsom, you have the spots, and the spots, I mean, you can catch those things. I think he said 10 months a year. I probably meant to say 12 months a year, because you can catch them in cold water. And see, it seems like they get active even before the smallmouth do. So that's always something to keep in mind, rather than having that largemouth mentality like a lot of us grew up with.
Well, in those spots, when they start to move up, they move up in droves, especially, well, up there in the North Fork. I've been out there on days where you can look down where the water's clear enough in 15 to 20 feet of water, and just see massive schools of spots working around these boulders and rock piles and stuff like that when they get into that pre-spawn mode. And even a small grub, I like to throw that 4-inch grub, single-tail grub on an 8-ounce dart head. It's a smoke color, and just throw it out and swim it back really slow. The Kytex swim baits, they're a little pricey, but that grub, you can buy a bunch of those without breaking the bank, and they work just as good for me.
Yeah.
And I use them at Berryessa a lot. It's an easy bait to use. When I get a lot of kids in the boat, I put that on their rod and just tell them, just start throwing it and reeling it back.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, we're going to continue this conversation as soon as we have a couple, two or three stable days. So, hey, thanks, Don, and have fun out there today at Howe Park.
You bet. I'll text you as soon as I know.
Thank you.
You bet. Bye-bye.
Don Paganelli, to book a trip with Don, 916-502-3474. When we get back, Harry Morris from the Department of Fish and Wildlife with good news and bad news on salmon.